And good morning. It's time for The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, people, and topics that are important to you. And today, a topic that really has been a subject of a lot of people's angst over the past year. We're talking about air travel, but some very exciting things happening with air travel in and out of Colorado Springs Airport, Colorado's small airport, as they've branded themselves. And we're going to be talking about that branding and how that branding is performing, as well as the changes in air service that are bringing such signs of encouragement to Colorado Springs and other growth that we should be talking about. And joining us today to talk about all these issues and much more, we're very pleased to have with us the Colorado Springs Airport Director of Aviation, Greg Phillips. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Shannon. How are you?
Oh, doing just fine. Doing just fine. Okay, so we've been talking about, you know, the performance of the Colorado Springs Airport, but certainly with the addition coming of Southwest Airlines, that is going to change things dramatically. Tell us what's going on to, I guess, change around some of the structures there at the airport to facilitate the addition of Southwest Airlines there.
Yeah, boy, we couldn't be more excited, Shannon, with March 11th as the start date for Southwest Airlines bringing 13 daily flights every single day to five different destinations. We're expecting it's going to be quite a bit busier, and that's a good thing because traffic has been down significantly, as I think everybody knows, at airports all across the country, including COS. So, The two areas that we're most focused on with Southwest are the TSA checkpoint and the baggage handling system. So we've been working with TSA. We've been doing some modeling for demand, and you know, we think that we're going to be okay. TSA is sending some additional equipment out for the baggage handling because at Southwest, as I think most people know, bags fly free. So they tend to have more people travel with bags.
Yeah, bags fly free, and you can change your flights up till right until flight time, I think. So both those things are excellent perks of flying with Southwest. So yeah, you do have to make some changes there.
Yeah, so we're prepared. Biggest surge that we expect and the highest demand is going to be sort of first thing in the morning. So they have a number of flights that go out, four flights, in fact, that go out between 6:30 and about 7:30, 8 o'clock. And so that early morning window, when you add in the flights from the other carriers as well, will be a higher demand really than the rest of the day. So, you know, we'll encourage people to get there early and to, you know, make sure that you can get checked in and get through the checkpoint in plenty of time to get to your flight. But we've sort of rearranged the line and how it goes. We've been looking at sort of potential structural modifications if we need to. But right now, all the modeling says that we should be okay. And we're certainly taking it seriously. And the last thing we want is for people to, you know, to add these new flights and then to impact them by having significant waits or delays or long lines.
Right. And speaking of those lines, we're still in COVID, and I know we're going to be talking a little bit about that, but is it still just one single line to get in through security? Is that what the plan is?
Well, there are the separate lines. We have, you know, five distinct lines going through security, but it's still the one entry point. There's only one checkpoint, but the multiple lines there, the line for TSA pre-check and then the other individual passenger lines. So we will be able to separate people. And certainly, as you know, you noted, social distancing is going to still be important. And the federal mask mandate that's in place does require everybody to wear a mask at the airport.
Well, with those additional flights, it seems like Southwest would be meeting all the demand, but you also have four other airlines at the airport, and one of those has added extra service, additional flights too. So tell us about that.
Absolutely. So, but first, just real quick on Southwest, the five destinations, in case anybody hadn't seen them or heard them, they're Las Vegas, Phoenix, Dallas Love Field, Chicago Midway, and Denver. And so with that, Southwest will be bringing almost 2,000 new seats, available seats, every single day. So we're really looking forward to getting people through the terminal and getting people, traveling on an entirely new network. Now, to your actual question on United, yeah, United has responded. We anticipated that would likely happen, and on last Friday they restarted one of the routes that had been postponed because of COVID, and that was the Los Angeles flight. So they are flying now, Colorado Springs, Los Angeles, LAX. And then they've also brought additional capacity to their Denver route. And some of those are mainline flights, meaning the large aircraft rather than just the small regional jets. So we're excited to see that happen as well and to open up United's network a little more out of Colorado Springs.
What do you think these airports are divining about Colorado's small airport from the additional services, from the adding of service, from setting up camp here? What do you think they seem to sense about this region?
Well, you know what? I think there was an article, and I think it was TripAdvisor just this last week, that named Colorado Springs as one of the top 10 emerging destinations in the entire world. There was only one other U.S. city named in that. And I think that's what maybe the airlines are recognizing, just as people across the nation are recognizing, is Colorado Springs is hatting in place. We've called it a city on the rise. Well, I think it's risen. And, what people are seeing is that there's an awful lot of great things happening in Colorado Springs. It's a neat place to come visit. And obviously, there's a whole lot of business going on in Colorado Springs as well. So, as we've gotten out there and sort of beat the brush with the airlines, talked about, repeatedly the benefits and advantage of Colorado Springs, what I would say is more airlines are starting to get that picture. And it's an exciting time for the airport and for the community.
Right. And we need a bright spot when it comes to air travel. So many people have curtailed their travel plans. I mean, others can't do so because they're traveling for work or for other reasons. But a lot of people have curtailed their travel plans. I mean, Colorado Springs Airport had, a significant decrease, but it was no different than any other airport around the country, really. We're going to be continuing the conversation with Greg Phillips, who is the Director of Aviation at Colorado's airport, Colorado's small airport, the airport at Colorado Springs. We'll be continuing the discussion, talking about, and in branding the airport, Colorado's small airport, what does that do? What does it bring to Colorado Springs, and how do you think travelers view it and the positives that it brings? That's coming up after this short message from our commercial advertisers. We're back with the Extra and the spotlight on Colorado's small airport. The Colorado Springs Airport Director of Aviation, Greg Phillips, is on the line with us. And Mr. Phillips, you were talking about how Colorado Springs had ranked in the top 10, number 7 actually, in TripAdvisor's listing of the top 10 emerging destinations in the world. And that listing came out in late January. I just want to mention for our listeners that what emerging destination means is it is the greatest year-over-year increase in saves on TripAdvisor around the world, meaning that people looked into a trip, thought it sounded interesting, hit save on a place that they wanted to visit. So they're keeping it like tabbed for future reference. So these are destinations that people are dreaming of. The only other U.S. city to make it, Panama City Beach, Florida. Well, they have the ocean, Well, I'm not sure we can compete with the ocean, but we've got the mountains. So there's that. And we've got also Colorado Small Airport, which, when you're talking about ease of access, that is a huge thing. And in branding the airport with this slogan, this identity, what do you think it's accomplished, Greg?
Well, it's actually been quite a hit, and we've had an awful lot of positive comments from it. Of course, you know, it certainly makes you scratch your head a little bit, like, why are we calling ourselves Colorado Small Airport? Well, the answer is we own it. We're not Denver. You know, we'll never be Denver. And guess what? We don't want to be Denver. But what we have and what Colorado Springs Airport offers is small lines, small weights, you know, our, you know, and we operate as a family. And what I would say is we offer big options and we take care of all our guests as our part of our family. So, you know, we have actually a values card that we talk about what the small airport is. It's small is friendly. Small is neighborly. Small is comfortable. Small is helpful. And small is big. And that's who we are. And not only have we had a number of, you know, great comments from people, but it's raised awareness, I think, of what the difference between Colorado Springs Airport and Denver is. And we actually won a national award for the branding campaign from the Airports Council International, which is one of the big trade organizations, beating out a couple of large international airports. So we're pretty proud of that and pretty proud to sort of stand our ground at who we are and what Colorado Small Airport means.
Own the identity, in other words. Make sure that people know that, you know, that it may sound like you're I guess, you know, admitting a smaller in stature, but it's an ease. Small means ease of access. I mean, when you look at DIA, for instance, and you look at the drive up to DIA, but then you also look at finding parking at DIA and perhaps the commuter bus that's going to take you from parking to the airport and then the long lines. I mean, all of that is, as you said, is miniaturized when you're talking about Colorado's small airport.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, your time is absolutely worth something. And if you think about it from Colorado Springs, you know, getting to the airport in Denver, getting through the ticket counters, the lines, the checkpoint, all that, you know, for most people, that means leaving your house almost 4 hours, sometimes more, before your scheduled flight. You don't have to do that to Colorado Springs. And the best part is when you land back in Colorado Springs, you're home, you know, and you can be home quickly after you'd land versus having to now get to your car or get a transport and get all the way back down to Colorado Springs.
So right, right.
That's what we love about being the hometown airport.
And there are, you know, options too if you don't want to drive yourself and park in any of the parking areas at Colorado Small Airport because you've got, you know, the ability to take an Uber there. I can't really do that to go to DIA. I guess you could if you wanted to bankrupt yourself, but you also... Yeah, you know, taxis, buses. I mean, you've got options when it comes to that, grandma, whatever. when it comes to coming up with a branding like this, this was not a decision, though, that was taken lightly. What went into it?
So we hired a consultant to help us look at what we were calling ourselves, how we were marketing, how we were branding ourselves. And so we went through a pretty thorough process then to think about what makes us different. You know, do we want to sell ourselves as just another cookie-cutter airport? You know, here we are. And the answer is no. And the answer is we're proud of the way we position ourselves and the things that make Colorado Springs Airport, you know, different. And that is the fact that because it's smaller, it can offer easier access, faster access, you know, and so many other conveniences that just make sense for your hometown airport. And so with that and with the effort that we did with a national consultant, you know, we kind of came to this as an idea, and then we had to sell it to the mayor. And mayor, like me, you know, scratched his head a little bit at first, but he, you know, he's really, really, really been supportive of the airport, has always been supportive of the airport. He said to go for it. And so we did. And we think it's been a great, great campaign and a great way to say this is who we are at Colorado Springs.
Setting ourselves apart, indeed. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the difficult year that airports all over have been experiencing, and Colorado's small airport, no different. We're talking about the impact from the coronavirus pandemic and what it really looks like to travel in this climate and what we should expect in the days and weeks ahead, as well as any lessons that have been learned by those at the Colorado Springs Airport. That's coming up in our next segment of The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. We need to take another short break. Short being kind of like Colorado small airport, you know, you take the wording as it is, because it is a short break when you compare it to the hour long show that we have here on The Extra. So keep it right here on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra, the show connecting you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Sometimes it's the place. Today, the place we're talking about is Colorado Springs Airport, otherwise known as Colorado's small airport. And last year, the airport, like other airports throughout the country, throughout the world, in fact, experiencing the difficulties of operating during a pandemic in which people were told to stay home. That definitely impacted the travel industry, the airports, no different. We know that the Colorado Springs Airport ended the year with over 700,000 total passengers, which was a dip of about 56% from the previous year. Is that correct, Greg Phillips?
That's just about right, Shannon.
Yeah. And definitely we started off the year great. I mean, January and February, we were on pace for a record year, and then COVID struck, and we're still dealing with it, even though flights are now starting to look fuller than they have in many, many months. So tell us, I guess, are airlines, do you think, at a point where they're no longer struggling to see whether they're going to be able to stay solvent, but now they're able to plan for the future?
I think the airlines are still losing, you know, significant amounts every single month. So, you know, the impacts linger, certainly continue into 2021. But we are seeing some hope on the horizon. And as even in the local community, we watch numbers drop. There are more people getting vaccinated. You know, and I certainly think, you know, over the last year, we've learned an awful lot about cleaning, sanitation, things we can do to, you know, limit the spread of the virus in a public place like the airport or in an airplane. So I am hopeful as we turn the corner here that we're going to see airlines, airports, travel, you know, all increase some. But it's certainly not out of the water yet.
Right. And I know that, you know, I, as one member of the public who had family members that were relocating during all of this. And so I was called on to help with that process. So I didn't really have a choice in the matter as well as to whether or not I could travel. And I took to a number of flights this past year and didn't contract anything. So it really felt actually like the airlines and the airports were erring on the side of caution and taking precautions and making it a safer practice process than maybe we had ever thought about. Do you feel like those safety precautions, do you think they're hitting the mark at this stage?
Absolutely. And I'd emphasize, you know, you can travel and travel safely, you know, in today's world. You just have to be smart about it. So from the airport side, you know, we're cleaning like we've never cleaned before. We've looked at sort of national standards. We've looked at benchmark. We looked at how hospitals have cleaned. You know, we've sort of increased our own cleaning cycles. And right now, we're getting involved in an actual cleaning accreditation program that's very new in the airports world. But we want to be on top of that. We want to be one of those airports that says we're going the extra step, the extra mile to make sure that our facilities are clean, safe, sanitized for our travelers. The airlines, you know, in addition, the other piece of the equation, you know, have really, really stepped up their own cleaning, you know, in between flights as they turn aircraft from a arrival to a destination. If people have heard some question about the air circulation in an airport, well, you know, Harvard Public Health did a study, and what they find is the circulation in an airplane is actually better than it is in an operating room. It cycles the air quickly. They use the same kind of HEPA filters that an operating room uses, and in fact keeps the air as fresh and clean and sanitized as you can get in any public facility. So all those things contribute to making it and helping it be safe for our travelers. You know, beyond that, of course, the mask mandate and all the airlines requiring masks, you know, to recommend all the other sanitation recommendations that you hear, washing your hands, social distancing, et cetera, here. So we encourage people to keep themselves safe, to make their own decision, but to think about, you know, how they can travel and travel safely and not just button themselves down, you know, in their house for months and months ahead.
And when it comes to, I guess, the traveling public, it seems like they've received the message finally, because we all saw some of those videos and heard the horror stories of airline crews, the plane crews, you know, flight attendants, even pilots, you know, telling the travelers over the loudspeaker, you know, put on your masks or else I'm going to turn this plane around. But it seems like travelers have finally got the message.
I think so. You know, so we still see, you know, some individuals that don't want to wear a mask. I certainly don't want to argue for or against, you know, a mask. But the fact is that they are designed to try and help keep people safe, to help keep people from contracting the disease. And, you know, if you look at it no other way, it is a mandate. So we just ask you to think about, you know, yourself and to think about others that are out in the public and just respect that there is the mandate, that the airlines are not going to let you fly without a mask. And, you know, let's move beyond this so that we can all travel again. Meet people, visit new places, travel for business, do the things that make America what America is.
Right.
Travel is about commerce. It's about visits. It's about family and friends.
Right, right. I mean, we've had, you know, open borders among the states for as long as the nation has been a nation. So, it's really been part of, I guess, the American identity is to explore the United States. What does it look like to travel in this climate, Greg, would you say?
Every destination is going to be a little different. So I would encourage anybody, if you are traveling, is check out what the local requirements may be in the destination, the state that you're traveling to. So certainly right now it's a little easier to travel domestically than it is internationally. And for any international traveler, I think it's important to know that there is a requirement that you have to be able to show that you have had a COVID-19 test and no symptoms or anything like that within the last 3 days. And they will check that, you know, even if you're traveling through JFK or through Miami or through, you know, San Francisco as a stop on your international destination, if your final destination is international, you have to show that you have had a test within the last 3 days. And so the airlines are all checking that. Beyond that, you know, again, just check. Just because we are in stage yellow here in Colorado doesn't mean that Connecticut or Washington or you know, Iowa are the same. So you want to know what your destination looks like, what requirements they may have, and that you're prepared for that. But other than that, certainly there are some places that certain facilities are closed down, but you can still travel, and there are still things to do. And let's get out and see America.
I like that encouragement. Greg Phillips, we need to take a short break right now. We'll be back with our final segment of The Extra. We're going to be talking about development and growth at the airport, the changes that you may be seeing. That's coming up as we continue here on KRDO's News Radio. Welcome back to the final segment of The Extra. We're talking with Greg Phillips, Director of Aviation at Colorado's Small Airport, the one based right here in Colorado Springs, soon to be adding service with travel via Southwest Airlines, as well as more United flights. All of this spelling for increased optimism and hope for success as Colorado Springs emerges, as all airports do, from the pandemic, hopefully as more and more people get vaccinated and things return to normalcy. I know, Greg, I remember talking last spring, we were actually hoping that return to normalcy would be last fall. Obviously, that didn't happen, but, you know, we are starting to see, it feels like we can see the sunshine on the horizon, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think we were all shocked that this has gone on as long as it has, but at this point, like you, I have my fingers crossed that we're starting to turn the corner.
Right. And meanwhile, there's a lot of real optimism in terms of the growth that's happening at the airport. Why don't you tell us about some of this?
Absolutely. You know, if there's been a bright spot through this whole thing, it has been the growth at the airport, the economic development, the construction, both on the west side of the airport with Sierra Nevada Corporation, with the expansion of the National Museum of World War II Aviation. You know, those have been great. But even more than that, the business park, our Peak Innovation Park, and the growth that's happened there with Amazon having constructed at the end of 2019 their last mile distribution center, and then starting work on their 3.7 million square foot fulfillment center that is scheduled to open by this summer, and now a third building that they are doing earthwork for and will start construction soon for what they call a sortation center, a 280,000 square foot building. So I've joked with people that I think we're becoming Amazon's HQ2 by default, one building at a time. So
so funny.
A lot of growth by one of the juggernauts of our country these days.
right. Yeah. And all of that growth begets other growth, because if you have workers at those facilities, at those buildings, then they're going to need places to go for lunch and places to cash their checks, et cetera, et cetera. So it sounds like all that area is just, I guess, ripe for increased growth.
Absolutely. And we've been focused on the big projects like Amazon, like Aerospace Corporation's big expansion, Flywheel Capital that has a building they're going to start on soon first. But after that, and sometime this year, probably towards summer, we're anticipating releasing a number of parcels for lease that can be used for retail. And for things like a convenience store, gas station, restaurants, those kind of things that we've always believed had a great place in the plan for the business park, but that just kind of needed their time. And now that time's coming. I'd add one other thing, that finally, we're going to have bus service to the airport, and it's joint service because of the growth in the business park and now the growth at the airport itself. So we've wanted that a long time, but the last time they tried bus service to the airport, it did not do well at all. There just wasn't enough usage, And so it went by the wayside. But we're hoping that now this is the time that we can have transit service to the airport as well as the other options.
Well, that's a big step. That's a big step. I know you could get close to the airport with buses, but this will definitely open that up if they are getting it. And will there be any road expansions with all of this building going on out there?
Well, there is some sort of interior road expansion in the business park itself, and some of that work has been underway now for some time, you know, to support Amazon and after Amazon, you know, the additional development that will happen in the park. We just this month reopened Peak Innovation Parkway. Some folks may remember it as Crestera. At the north end, where a roundabout has been constructed, and a new stoplight at the corner of Peak Innovation and Milton Proby. So watch for that as you drive in. You know, if you're on autopilot, as I know a lot of us are driving on our way to work or someplace, don't miss the fact that there's a new stoplight there.
Look up. Don't think it's just the same, right?
Absolutely. And then, of course, at Grinnell, at the corner of Grinnell and Powers Boulevard, it's still a pretty massive project there to upgrade that intersection. And that work will continue for, you know, a couple more months. But we're looking forward to, you know, really apologize for any inconveniences we caused, but these things have to be done. And in the end, they will help and help the economic development of this part of Colorado Springs.
Right. We'll have a nice, shiny infrastructure to support Colorado's small airport. As we get ready to call it a show here with Greg Phillips, I'd like to offer you the final minute. How would you like to summarize you know, the message that you have for folks when they're thinking about Colorado Springs Airport and the differences that are happening there, the changes that are happening there, and how we should be looking at travel? What would you like to say?
Thank you, Shannon. The Colorado Small Airport, you know, if I hear two complaints about the airport, it's about more flights and fares. I understand both of those and totally accept the concern, and we work on that every day. So with the initiation of Southwest Airlines service, you know, what I'd ask folks to think about is recognize that this is an entirely new network of flights and the network of destinations and routes. So just because you may not be going to Denver or Las Vegas or Phoenix directly, you think about taking the one stop. We want Southwest to be successful. So if you're going to go to Tampa, take the one stop through Dallas. Take the one stop through Denver. Think about how we as a community who tried for 20 years to get Southwest here can work to help make Southwest, our new carrier, successful so that they will grow, so that they will bring more service, and that just improves the entire landscape of air service into our community. So I want to thank everybody in the community who uses the Colorado Springs Airport. Encourage you to fly safely, take care of yourself, but come on back. Let's go see America. Thanks,
fantastic.
Everybody. Thanks,
great
Shannon.
Message there. Greg Phillips, Director of Aviation for Colorado's small airport, the Colorado Springs Airport. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks, Shannon.
You've been listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio.